It's episode 53 of the Velocity podcast. How are you, my friend?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It was my daughter's birthday yesterday. We had a great day. I haven't actually talked to you about it much, but there was so many nice little moments because she's saying more now, and she's every week she's coming further out of her shell and developing her own personality. And she, as you know, she goes to a childminder's 3 days a week, and there are a small number of kids there. There are three that have been there for a while. And yesterday, our childminder sent us a video of those three kids all in unison shouting, "Happy birthday, Arabella." It's only like a 7 second clip. And we showed it to her yesterday. And I couldn't tell you how much her face lit up when she watched this little video. And she just like pointed out them, spoke their names aloud, and just looked at us and said, "My friends." It was the cutest thing. And then she was like, "Again?" And then Natalie, my wife, she then had to play it about 15 to 20 times on repeat before we distracted her with something else. And she wanted to watch it again this morning at breakfast. So that was just one of those examples of, I mean, such a cute little moment that we had yesterday. And we had many more while we were away on holiday last week.
Nice. I love that. That's really cool.
In contrast, you were just telling me about bedwetting.
Yeah, fucking hell. So
not you, fortunately, but
yeah, I pissed the bed again. I thought you weren't going to bring that up on the podcast, but while we're here,
no, I told you, we need to be open, we need to be vulnerable, all right?
Yeah, all right. I pissed the bed. No, my 7-year-old son, obviously we're way past the bedwetting stage now, but for some reason, long story short, he came and stayed in our bed, pissed in it, and then the next night stayed in his own bed, pissed in it again. So need to get to the bottom of that. But on the weekend, he had his first ever football tournament.
Ah, yes.
I was the manager. We had two teams, and they asked me if I could manage one of the teams. And
did you take your waistcoat in the end?
Yeah, I did full Gareth. We had no idea how they were going to do. It was under sevens, and they've never played a match before in their lives, and they were unbelievable. They won 4 out of 5 games, and my son was the top scorer with 5 goals, and he was absolutely class. And I was fighting back the tears when he knocked in his first goal. And he just turned around, put his finger up to his mouth and gave it the old shh when he scored, jogged back to the start. Absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, lots of good childhood stuff going on. But I suppose we should probably talk about something related to personal training.
Yeah, let's do it. Today, we were chatting with some coaches earlier in our 2K club. This is a membership we've launched for trainers earlier in their journey to help them lay some kind of the fundamental foundations for a business and get their first 10, 15 clients. And ultimately £2,000 or $3,000 a month of income. That's who it's for. But the topic came up, a couple of things we spoke to, which we wanted to chat about for the next 10 or 15 minutes. And it was about the content or the posts, the posters that you make to bring attention to your business when you're running what we might call a promotion, right? Or a campaign. And the thing that stood out to me as I read, we get to read a lot of these. We have nearly 200 personal trainers in our community now. And obviously we're spending a fair bit of time on emails and social media and whatnot. So we're seeing a lot of what personal trainers are making. And it's so clear that when we see posts that don't work, when they put something out there and they get crickets, it's as if ChatGPT could have written it, or any other trainer could have written that post. And there was nothing in it that really spoke to that, to you as the trainer, to the person who wrote the post. And the lack of authenticity and individuality that's in your content or in the way that you produce yourself is really, I think, holding back the potential of many trainers that are brilliant and they know their shit and they can get great results. But because they sound like every other trainer, it just gets lost amongst the ever-increasing volume of posts that are being made by personal trainers on all social platforms. And that was where the conversation began.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about when you're running a campaign or a promotion, there's obviously a lot of volume that needs to be done. Like, there's no faking that. If you can get a lot of volume out there, if you're going to post into local community Facebook groups and you post into 2, then you're riding your luck. If you can post into 20, great. Why not post into 30? Volume is really important, but the volume becomes irrelevant if what you've posted just doesn't connect. if it doesn't connect with someone on some level and get them to put their hand up and say, that's interesting, that resonates with me, that's something I can relate to. And so if it's a ChatGPT, as you said, ChatGPT style post, or it's just very vanilla, I help people that are fat and want to get fit, it's not going to call out to anyone. And you said in the call, you know, if your worry is that you're going to isolate people and that your, you know, your target with your post is I want to appeal to as many people as I possibly can, then the reality is that you're actually going to appeal to nobody. So by defining who it is that you're talking to, by creating some emotion that they can connect with, that's the way that you're going to create the biggest response to your post, actually by isolating.
Yeah. And the thing you said about volume there is we do that in a two-step. So we want to get the volume first, because really, like, we don't know if something's going to work. We're not Mystic Meg or some kind of future tellers. So what we have to do is we say, look, we need to get enough eyeballs on your poster or your post for social or whatever it is you're going to do in Facebook. And we need to get it. We need to validate what you've done. I'm sure we'll give you a template. We'll give you some structure. We'll give you some step-by-step things to put something together if you don't know. But then once you've passed the volume test that you were describing, then you would then think, okay, well, if I'm getting something, then I can pull fuel on the fire by going and making that thing even better. And I think the thing that that I'm seeing such great results with at the moment is no hack that you can learn. It's actually the courage to look inward. And this is the bit where most people switch off, but they're like, you need to look inward and say, like, what makes you different as a coach, uniquely? And you can't say, I really give a shit about my clients, because that's like, that's the bar of entry. My breath doesn't stink. I wear a uniform. That's all normal, but what makes you you? And how will I know if I didn't know you'd written that post and you just gave me 10 things to read? How would I know that one's you? Well, it would be the language that you use, little words or idiosyncrasies or little isms that only you use that I would know would identify you. What experiences or what unique things specific to you could I see or read or experience within whatever you produce that would make me say, yeah, that's that person that's speaking from the heart. And the more, and I heard this quote that I think beautifully summarizes it, that in order to break through the competition, be authentic. And that is kind of what we're speaking about.
Yeah, so true. I think that the problem, I think, for a lot of people is that they've never done that work. They've never actually thought to themselves, like, who am I? Who is it that I serve? Like, who would want to work with me? Like, I want to work with anybody, so I'll just create something really generic because I'm happy to work with anyone, rather than flipping it around the other way and say, well, who would want to work with me? And how do I let them know that I exist? And how do I let them know what I am all about and what I truly believe in and what I think is important? A lot of that comes through fear of being ridiculed, being judged, getting nothing back from it. But they're absolutely where we've seen some of the best results. Quirky pictures, people writing weird things about themselves, people having a slightly sort of different view on something, which really connects the dots. And ultimately, what you want the reader to do is go, that's really refreshing to read that. Or, yeah, I agree with that. Or, fuck yeah, that's exactly how I feel. That's the connection that we want to make. Not, oh, I can lose 20 pounds of fat in the next 30 days. It just doesn't have the same emotional ring to it. And people have seen it again and again and again. So authenticity is absolutely the key.
And there is a helping little thing that has helped me do this and work on this to get better at it. But I think hopefully that people out there can use to help them become more authentic. And the three things you can use more. One is characters. And so we started this podcast off by talking about my daughter and my wife and your son or your kids and your son with his football. So like these are characters. And by referencing the little stories or the developments in their story and what experiences you've had of late and how that relates to your day, your week, or whatever, that makes you unique because no one else can talk about football tournaments and you being proud of watching your son play football and bedwetting. Like, adding those pieces into the content that you create, that makes it really unique. And I'm not saying you would make content about that, but you might end up writing one sentence that references how proud you felt at football. So picture goes up of you with your son. I saw that picture you posted on Instagram and it's like, I had the best weekend. I hope you did too. It got me thinking that, boom, and now I'm in a, and now I'm in a thing. And that little one-liner and that one picture makes you stand out amongst any other coach that you might be up against. And so characters is the first one.
Mm.
The second one would be places and locations, particularly for local trainers. This is a big one, isn't it? Like, actually using the local geography of where you live, and in both the images of the videos, but also the copy that you use to promote and advertise your business, sets you apart from online coaches, doesn't it? Like, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, like, if you've been living under a rock and listening to us, then you might not know that we only work with face-to-face coaches. That's what makes us really unique. We're one of the only companies that does it, certainly to
unique
the level
in New York.
Unique New York. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. A little reference to Anchorman. Yeah, so we only work with face-to-face coaches. So the strategies that we work on are all geared around helping you become essentially a celebrity in your postcode. That's the goal. Like, there is no value if you're a face-to-face coach to create content that people from another country will comment on and say, yeah, fire, man. Like, there's no value to that. What we want to do is we want to connect you to people in your area that need your help. And so, yeah, referencing landmarks, locations is really powerful because people will connect to that quite literally. They'll be like, oh, I was there the other day. Or, yeah, I remember that. Or, oh, I've heard of that place. I must go there. I've not been there yet. Oh, yeah, the cakes in that bakery are awesome, aren't they? Like, if you can make those things, they've seen it with their own eyes. They've heard it in conversations in the local leisure center or pub. It helps connect you to your audience. And it means that they get a lot closer to you than they do the Instagram photo of the online coach that's based in the States when you're in the UK.
Yeah. Another great way of making you more authentic by saying, hey, I live in this place and you might know it too. And it will draw more of the right people to you. So you've got characters, you've got location. The other one is language. And you mentioned it just a moment ago. Like, what words do you use that not many other people use? And you just said fire. Like, it's not a word that you and I use. So we would never use that, even though there are coaches out there would say, that's fire, man. And cool, good luck to them. That's fine.
I'm wishing you all the best.
Yeah, we wish you all the best. It's just not what we would do. And so often what you do, when we start a call with our clients, we'd be like, all right, team. So we might use that phrase in our content and be like, hey, team. So I'm kind of a friendly, like, you're part of my team. We're doing this together. That's just a language that we would use. Or I say, yo, quite a lot. It's like, yo, what's up? So I would use that exact word, those exact words in a bit of content. I would say, yo, yo, sup. And that would sound like I'm talking. So therefore, that's language for David. And I would then, whenever I'm writing something or producing something, like, I would ask myself, how can I make this sound exactly as I would say it? And that makes it much more authentic.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. My son started using the word clutch, and I've had to quiz him on what that means. He says, oh, dad, that's clutch. And that was, what does that mean? I think it, like, means it's really, really cool, but I didn't even know that. So yeah, I would never use that language. But again, if you talk the way that you want to talk, then you'll attract the people that will be attracted by you, which is really important.
It's funny, isn't it, how you get that language that just, like, almost, I don't know where that came from, but I know that another one was sick. Like, when maybe it was about 10 years ago, this word became a word used to say something was cool. But I think I wasn't quite in that crowd. I didn't quite get it. I'd never really honestly, genuinely call something sick, but I understand what that one means. But I'm like, sick as in, like, the term to describe when you're ill. Like, how is that? I don't understand it. But then exactly as you say, I wouldn't use that because if I did, it would make me inauthentic and it wouldn't attract the right kind of people.
Yeah, the type of people that would respond to that would be people that weren't a fit for your program, because that's not the way that you do things. Like, the type of language that we use, weirdly, it kind of, you can connect the dots with that as to the type of person that you are, the circles you hang around in, what your motivation for change is. Like, there's so many things you can take from that. So yeah, there were some really big insights. The other thing that we spoke about today in the 2K Club was something called the first hurdle.
Oh, sorry, there's one more point. It's a bugbear of mine. I just want to mention it before we move on to that little bit. Stop using ChatGPT to write copy. It's so easy to see when someone's done it, because you actually have to know how to use it to produce copy if you want to do it that way. But it's just my opinion that you shouldn't. So please, you do the writing and don't use ChatGPT to write stuff for you. It's just so that is literally inauthentic. That is not you. It's a robot. So stop doing it.
Don't be a ChatGPT wanker.
Don't be a robot, literally.
So yeah, the other thing we spoke about was that in the 2K club, we were talking about the posting and scheduling and promotion. And we spoke about this idea of the first hurdle. And this idea is about understanding what is in your prospect's mind when they read your post, your promotion, whatever it is. And the idea is that people can't see that far ahead in terms of their goals. And if we relate that to health and fitness, if Sandra is sat on the sofa eating a bag of Doritos and she knows she needs to do something, then reading a post about how to run a marathon in the next 30 days is very unlikely to connect the dots with her. Now, it doesn't mean that that is the wrong post, because if you're targeting people that are very good at running and they just want to get the next, you know, one or two levels of progress so that they can run a marathon, then that might be relevant. But if you help women that are low in confidence, haven't trained before, they've lost their identity, they're overweight, they're out of shape, talk about the first hurdle. And what that might mean is getting Sandra off the sofa and getting her to move, getting her to have the understanding of how to still have a bag of crisps every now and again. Sure. But sure, be able to integrate that with a more balanced lifestyle, to be able to start an exercise routine that isn't going to break her knees and her back, and is going to start to build confidence again in her body, going to start to get her feeling better about the person that she is and restore her level of self-confidence. They're the first hurdle things.
It was why, like, we've had this conversation a fair few times, but it's why I keep coming back to how good Couch to 5K was as a hook.
Yeah.
To, like, it was a title of a program, but it was also the outcome. And it spoke to the first hurdle. It spoke to people who, like Sandra, as you describe, they're spending way too long on the sofa. They're not doing any exercise. And like 5K is something they could just about see, but I've got a nice steady pathway to get them there. And it takes people, I don't know, 8-12 weeks or something. So I really like that. And I think if people can take the lesson embedded within that, what you just explained, and that, you know, Couch to 5K is an example, it'll make your advertisements and promotions and campaigns so much more effective, because you're actually speaking more aptly to the problems and the immediate aspirations that your clients have.
Yeah, that's the word, isn't it? It's the immediate aspirations. Like, yeah, I'd love to do all that stuff, but I just can't see it right now. I can't imagine myself even thinking about going there. So if that's where your marketing is, it just doesn't connect. Whereas if you talk about the thing that is tangible, you talk about the thing that they can achieve in the next 30, 60, 90 days, it's probably already in their mind somewhere.
Yeah.
And what you are is the vessel towards actually making that thing happen. So they're going to
keep... Good word.
Thank you very much. That's a word I would use, not clutch.
That's clutch, man. That's so sick.
So that's really important. Talk about the first hurdle. Talk about the things that they want to achieve now, because that's where they're going to have the most emotion, motivation. It's going to feel believable. It's going to feel tangible. It's going to be something that they can latch onto. Don't talk about something that they might be capable of, but is a long way away. It's also why we called our 2K club the 2K club.
Yeah.
Like, we could have called it the 20K club, and we've got coaches that can get to 20K. That's not a problem, but that's not the audience we were targeting.
Mm.
If we'd have called it the 20K club, we'd have been going after a different audience. So it has to feel tangible. People that come to the 2K club, it feels believable. They need 10 clients to make £2,000 a month in monthly recurring revenue. We'll do that with you by teaching you 8 lessons over 8 weeks.
Mm.
Believable.
Yeah, really believable. And it's got to be believable. Otherwise, people just don't buy into it. And I think the other thing I've noticed quite a lot is how I think the temptation is, like, when you start promoting and, you know, you've got something to promote, that you want to make things sound really good, because the better it sounds, the more attractive it's going to be. But actually, the nuance is, as you say, that if it's not believable to the person that it's pitched at, doesn't matter how fucking great it sounds, it's going to miss the mark because it doesn't feel believable, and therefore they don't feel like they're able to achieve it, the perceived likelihood of accomplishment of that thing. So you've got to find this balance where, yes, it needs to be something that they really, really like, but it also needs to be something they believe they can do. And if you can strike the balance, I think you've got a winning combo.
Agreed.
Sweet. All right, mate. We've hit our time. We shall love you and leave you and look forward to the next episode. We'll see you again soon, my friend.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.